The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to do this.
Yeah, we got to do this.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hello.
In the house. Jensen Lewis will join us momentarily to talk college baseball, College World Series. Down to eight. Now the double elimination part of it. We'll get Jensen's thoughts on all of that. Jay Kahn on tonight's Stanley Cup Final, game number five. With that series knotted up at two games apiece between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights. Carolina, pretty substantial favorite in Game 5 tonight. Back in Carolina, back in Raleigh. Zach Cohen on the NBA Finals. We'll see if he has any grass court tennis left on the slate today. And then some more World Cup. We are but 5 hours away from the beginning of the World Cup. Get your Survivor entries in. Get your bets in.
Let's go.
Paul Carr will join us. More World Cup with him coming up on the show. And then, of course, it is Thursday. You know what that means. Unscripted with Crack Man Bill Krakenberger. That does not change.
I have I've officially fired too much on the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm involved now.
I haven't gone crazy. But have I fired too much? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Last night, let us begin with it. Oh, my God. What was that? The San Antonio Spurs cough up eight. Let me just start this way. Let's say, Kelly, just hypothetically, you made a bet on the Spurs to win the NBA title. I don't know, on Christmas Day at about 19-1.
That sounds like a smart time to make a bet on the Spurs.
And somebody came to you from the future and they said, hey, you know that bet you made on Christmas Day? You took down the Oklahoma City Thunder. And
this is sounding like a better bet now.
And you ended up with double-digit leads in the first four games of the NBA finals, including a 29-point lead in game four. What would you be like? I'd be like, give me my money. Oh, we didn't sweep him. Okay, well, I'll just wait till game five because a gentleman sweep. I get it, right?
Gentleman sweep.
No problem.
Give him one more.
And then the person says to you, yeah, no. And you're like, what? We had a 29-point lead in one of those games. Surely we won that game. At the most, you mean the Knicks knotted this up at two apiece despite all of that? And you'd be like, and they'd be like, no. And then you'd be like, oh, you'd be like, you a damn lie. This can't possibly be. Ladies and gentlemen, the superlatives will not stop on this this recap. The San Antonio Spurs blow a 29-point lead, as you very well know. Knicks beat them 107-106, and in an impossible result last night. Spurs up 14-10, then they go on an 8-0 run on their way to a 41-22 lead after the first quarter. A 27-12 close to the frame. 21, their biggest lead in the quarter. At that point, the Spurs were 15 of 23 from the field, 6 of 10 from behind the arc, 65.2% shooting. The Knicks were 5 of 17 from the field, 29.4% shooting. The Knicks had 12 free throw attempts. They were 10 of 12. The Spurs were just 5 for 5. So all the people who have the Knicks backers who were like complaining about the refs, hey, look, he's coming back. You guys getting all the free throws. Second quarter. Spurs got the lead to as many as 29, 71-42. They led 76-49 at the half, a 27-point lead. The third largest halftime lead in NBA Finals history, only the 85 Celtics and the 20 bubble Lakers had bigger leads at the half of an NBA Finals game, 30 and 28 respectively. This was 27.
Well, this is over.
It's over, right? Wembanyama, 16 points, Vassell, 15, Harper, 15, Brunson, 19, but again, on 14 shots. We talked about this all week.
Yeah, right? And like the thing that will be forgotten, right, Gil? The Knicks falling apart. Right, Karl Anthony Towns is in foul trouble. Like this is everything that could go wrong for the Knicks seemingly has gone wrong for the Knicks.
Halftime shooting percentages: Spurs 59.6% for the field, 53.8% from behind the arc. 14 of 26, the most made threes in any half in an NBA Finals. Knicks 15 of 23 from the line. Spurs 6 of 6. Hey, look, the Knicks had 17 more free throw attempts. I don't hear any Knicks fans complaining about that. Only two San Antonio turnovers. Third quarter, 81-52. I did the math. That's 29 again, Kelly. The Knicks go on a 13-0 run to cut it to 16, 81-65 as part of a overall 23-9 run to close that quarter. That cut it to 15. So essentially, almost cutting it directly in half, right? 90-75 at the end of three. And if you're a Spurs fan, a Spurs backer, it's still 15, right? You're like, it's 15. Like, everybody calm down. By the way, I'm speaking to nobody when I say this. Everybody calm down. 90 to 75.
Oh, it took me, as Spurs backers, Gil, it took me a very long time before I was nervous
me
about
too.
This.
Me too. I'll tell you when I got nervous, though. 99-88, Brunson hits two free throws. Champagne misses a three. Steele, Vassell misses a three. Why so many threes?
Because they won.
Brunson layup, 99-92 now. Fox misses a step back. Ananobi three, 99-95 with 4:34 left. And that is when I officially became nervous. A 20-4 run for the Knicks at this point. Now, at this point, I sort of also noticed, let me see now. The Spurs scored 41 in the first quarter. They scored 35 in the second quarter. And with 4:34 left in regulation, they had 24 in the second half in its entirety. De'Aaron Fox, though, quiets the naysayers in the crowd with a three. Alvarado layup, though. Wemby jumper. Alvarado three. We're back to four at 104-100. Fox misses a three. Why so many threes? Knicks ball down four. Brunson three. Good, because of course it is. 104-103 with just over 2 minutes left. And then Fox, caught in midair, throws it away. Hart steal. The Knicks are going to take a lead, but he botches the layup.
Incredible.
Oh, my God. Wemby fouled. Misses both. By the way, let's not forget about that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Wembanyama missed both free throws there. Toit. He was toit with 1:47 left. Brunson, floater, good. Knicks, 105-104. Their first lead of the night. Did I mention they were down 29? Did that come up?
Yeah. This game was over.
Castle then steps out of bounds with 102 to go, even though he didn't step out of bounds on replay. If that were a Knick player, we wouldn't hear the end of it. Then a Knicks 24-second shot clock violation with 38.8 left. Spurs down one. Timeout Spurs. Fox, jumper, no good, but Castle flies in and is fouled on the follow-up. And, of course, he hits both because he's ice. Got ice in his veins. 106-105, Spurs with 30.3 seconds left. Castle 8 of 8 from the line. Then Brunson misses a floater, banks off the board. The ball's batted down court. And with just over 12 seconds left, you see De'Aaron Fox, fastest player on the court. He's going to get the basketball. Remember, the Spurs are up one. Doesn't need to shoot. Shoots anyway. Goes up for a layup. Blocked by Ananobi. Why did he shoot? Knicks rebound. As Charles Barkley said after the game, quote, "That was a dumbass play. He did not have to shoot that ball."
No, he did not.
Knicks call timeout with 5.7 seconds left after Alvarado almost commits a backcourt violation, by the way.
Yep.
I thought in real time it was. His 2 feet were across the line, but the ball never did, so it is not a backcourt violation.
Pretty sure he didn't know that either.
I'm pretty sure he did not. Again, all of these things had to happen, if any one of them doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs went. Brunson. It, by the way, this is the other one. So the Knicks have it with 5.7 seconds left, pardon me, down a point. This will get lost in history, too. Brunson with an inexplicable 31-footer, like a second into it. What was that? No good. But you know what happens. OJ Ananobi comes flying in, unimpeded, tips it in with 1.2 left, 107-106 Knicks. The Spurs make a mess of the subsequent inbounds. Ball game. It's the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. Remember all those stats I was telling you about the Spurs shooting in the first half and the first quarter specifically? The Spurs in the second half, and honestly, this baloncesto is a very simple game sometimes. The orange sphere has to go into the orange circle, the orange cylinder. The Spurs were 8 of 39 in the second half. Let me repeat that. The Spurs made 8 field goals in the entire second half. 8 of 39, 20.51%. By the way, they were 2 of 14 in the paint in the second half.
Barely even tried.
What's that?
Barely even tried to get in the paint.
Brunson, that's right. Brunson, 36 points, but on 25 shots. Ananobi, on the other hand, 33 points, 10 of 15 from the field. Wembanyama, 24-13 to defeat. Harper, 21. Fox, 18. Vassell, 18. Again, the first quarter, 41 points for the Spurs. Second quarter, 35. Entire second half, 30.
8 field goals, 9 turnovers.
Let's just do it by halves. First half, 76 points for the Spurs, 30 in the second half. That's impossible. If you had the Spurs team total over, it's the worst beat you'll ever have in your entire life.
Yep.
Spurs 14 of 26 first half from behind the arc, 3 of 17 second half, 2 turnovers first half, 9 turnovers second half. Let's just look at some of the superlatives, shall we? OptiStats. The Spurs are the only team in NBA history to have 76 or more points in the first half, 30 or fewer points in the second half. As I was just saying, the worst team total beat in the history of man in any game, regular season or playoffs, by the way. 76 or more points in the first half, 30 in the second. Josh Dubow. Teams down 20-plus points in the postseason the last 2 years.
This is incredible.
The Knicks are 5-3 straight up. The rest of the NBA is 4-71.
It's incredible, man.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? Just keep them coming, Danny. They're just all these are...
I mean, like, this is where I said, like, I wasn't worried till too late, Gil. Yeah. I should have been worried earlier because the Knicks keep doing this.
Kirthika Uthaya Kumar, NBA teams were 4-750. Went down by 20 or more in the fourth quarter of a playoff game over the last 30 years. They're now 5-750. The Knicks come back from 20 in the fourth quarter. The second time they've come back from down 20 in the fourth this postseason. And on till the break of dawn.
It's insane.
By the way, Jacob K. adds, the Knicks trailed by 17 points with less than 9 minutes to go. Entering today, teams were 0-96 when trailing by 17-plus points in the final 9 minutes of regulation of a finals game since 1970-71. The Knicks have just made that 1-96. And it should be pointed out that teams leading 3-1 in the NBA Finals have won the championship 37 of 38 times. The only exception, of course, that 2016 Cavaliers team that took down the Warriors. Yep, that happened. Game 5, Saturday night, back in San Antonio. Coming back with Jensen Lewis, College Baseball next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that the World Cup begins today.
Whoa!
Yeah, no, less than 4 hours from now. Still time to join the Splash Sports $1 million guaranteed high-stakes survivor contest. $1,000 to entry, $1 million on the line. You can only use a team once. Pick wisely from the group stage all the way through the knockout rounds. Outlast everyone else, and the million is yours. It's that simple. Right now, new players using promo code VSIN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free Quick Picks entry up to $20, a 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close today at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. Again, less than 4 hours from now. Do not wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use code VSIN. Must be 21 and over. Available in select states only. And you can do multiple entries, by the way.
Just know, you're going up against the Gil and Kelly team.
That's right.
We formed a team.
Do we know if there's a
watch out?
We formed. By the way,
powerful team.
Oh, let's adjudicate this here right on air. Are we each a part of each other's? Yes, right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. Okay.
Oh, I get your confusion on that. Yeah.
Kelly and I are having a private conversation here on air. I apologize. Overlay in this Splash Sports. Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be close.
It's going to be close. That's a safe comment to make.
Thanks.
Very well chosen words, Kelly. Well done. And by the way, that was the highlight of the whole show for me. You have no idea how proud I am of him. Paul Carr joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul has been giving us a myriad of picks throughout the weeks here. And finally, Paul, it's happening, so you don't have to add any more. How pumped are you on a scale from 1 to 1 million?
We're going to say like 850,000.
That sounds about right.
Ready to go. Yeah. Let's get these games going so we can stop talking about all the stuff around the games. And I know some of that will come up, but let's get these games started because the games on the field are what make the World Cup great.
It's also like my favorite and most hated group text now that we're a part of with me, you, Paul, and Chris Felica, because every 2 hours I think I'm done with a bet and then someone texts something. And I'm like, yeah, let me add that.
It's like Mr. Soccer, this guy now.
Yeah.
Scroll through the books. I'm like, oh, they added this market. I kind of like that.
I'll tell you what. In fact, after Paul gives us his additional plays here on some of these games in the coming days, will actually throw out all of our bets. He can grade them for us.
Yes.
Let's do that. First, though, are you on anything today in either of the two games today?
I don't have anything in either one. I mean, Mexico's a decent favorite against South Africa, but I don't know what they are yet. And South Korea and Czechia, I think, is a very even match. I don't have a strong feeling either way on that one.
Okay. Tomorrow, though, you are firing. What do you got?
Let's go. Yeah, we're going to start. Let's see. I'll start with Bosnia and Herzegovina with a double chance against Canada. So Canada, obviously, is one of the host nations, but they have a lot of question marks. Their best defender, Moise Bambito, is hurt, probably not going to play in this game. And they're really a defense-first team. The offense has been scuffling. I mean, it's just kind of the way that they play in part, but they try to defend and counter, and they're not always great at the counter part. So Bosnia got through a playoff, also kind of a defense-first, low-scoring style, where they want to play directly and in transition. So I think this one will be tight, not a pretty game necessarily. So I like the Bosnia-Herzegovina side of what's basically a coin flip. So I played them the double chance at even money.
Double chance for those listening for the first time?
Win or draw. That's it. Plus half a goal. Same market. You'll see it listed different ways in different books.
Win or draw plus half a goal. And then, of course, the United States of America debuts their 2026 World Cup side against Paraguay. What are you doing in this game?
All right, so I like the U.S. over half a goal in the first half. So the U.S. to score in the first half, even money. The U.S. enters this tournament. They've had a really good schedule. They've played 11 straight World Cup teams coming in. In 8 of those 11 games, the U.S. has scored in the first half. And it goes with just how they've approached these games, with the style. They've come out attacking. They've been aggressive early on, even against your, you know, Germany's and Senegal's the last couple of games. They look pretty good in the first half. Even against Portugal and Belgium in March when they, you know, got smoked overall. They played decently in the first half and had plenty of chances. So this is a veteran team. Half of them were on the World Cup roster 4 years ago. They've talked about the importance of being aggressive and not just, you know, kind of sitting back and letting things come to them. So I expect them to go right at Paraguay from the first kick. U.S. should have more of the ball in this game. They'll create plenty of chances for a first half goal. So even money, over half a goal in the first half for the U.S.
All right. Come on, USA. Make this easy.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's make this easy for us, at least at the beginning.
That's right.
I mean, we don't want stress here early on. Okay, mm-hmm. Saturday. Now, this is, again, we've had you on. We've had Chris Velika on. We've had Dallin Cuff on. We've had any number of folks talking about Morocco and Morocco winning their group. Brazil is obviously the giant, the historical giant that's in their group C. They face each other right out of the gate on Saturday. I'm anxious to hear what your bet is then.
Yeah, so there's kind of a big picture philosophical question here. With this new format, how are teams going to approach it? Because when only top two advance, broadly speaking, you'd see teams be a little more conservative early in the first game or two because they don't want to get eliminated and they want to try to stretch it to a last game and have an opportunity there. This new format is very forgiving because third place teams, 8 of 12 of them go through. So you get 3 points and a not terrible goal difference. You're probably going through. So I think it's possible that for these top teams like Brazil and Morocco, that they will open up a little more early because the win is more valuable. Maybe you rest some guys in the third game. Maybe it gets you in a better spot for a better matchup in the round of 32. So I kind of expect Morocco especially to go after Brazil in this one, and I'm not sure Brazil is ready for that. They've got good attackers. They've got some good defenders and keeper, but their midfield is a little bit weak. Casemiro's 34 years old. I don't think he can hold up, and Morocco will be able to go at him and go out on the wings. Brazil doesn't have a true right back on the roster anymore with Wesley getting hurt, and that's where one place that Morocco really likes to attack. So, I mean, obviously you're taking a shot here, but plus 450 for a Morocco win I think is a great price. The gap is not that large between these teams.
Let's go. Morocco beat Brazil plus 450 on Saturday from Paul. By the way, have you been to Morocco before? I did the whole thing where I was in Spain.
I spent
one afternoon in Morocco, in Tangiers.
Yeah.
Took a hydrofoil over there, and you get in this Casbah, and they're all trying to sell you stuff, and they're all on top of you.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one little dude in the corner who was like, spoon. He was selling his spoons. He's like, spoon. I bought this spoon. By the way, because I thought his tactics were better.
That's awesome.
All right, I need you to grade.
Do you still have the spoon?
I need you to grade all of these. Beginning with Morocco, plus 458 versus Brazil. Let's go. I'm on it, too.
All right, what kind of scale are we working with here? What am I throwing at you?
Let's do 5 stars.
Okay, so 5-star means I love the play, down to, we'll say, 1-star means...
Yes.
You're completely wrong.
Paul going all tout on us here. What do you want? Right. What is it?
All right. All right. Well, obviously, I love the Morocco money line play. I'm with that. So that's, you know, that's a 4.5, 5-star play.
Four and a half star play. Like it. All right. This is also Paul Carr inspired. USA, but now this is exact, right? You said par was 16. I am betting the USA to get knocked out exactly in the round of 16 at 3-1.
I like this, Val. I'll give you this 4 stars on this one because, yeah, par is the round of 16. They should be first or second in the group, which should give them a matchup in the round of 32 where they're the better team. And then they probably run into a better team in the round of 16. And that's, in theory, where the tournament ends. So, yeah, this is I think, the most likely outcome of the tournament for the U.S.
I did 4-1-2 exactas in 4 different groups. Okay. Group C is Morocco-Brazil plus 650.
I like that a lot because that plays right into the money line today because the other two teams in this group are Haiti and Scotland, who are far worse than both those two. So if Morocco wins this game, they should definitely win the group, and you expect Brazil to take care of business in the other two games as well. So you're, in a way, you're getting a better price here than you are on the money line today for not entirely the same result, but things that are largely correlated.
Group F exacta, the Netherlands, Holland, the Dutch first, Japan second, plus 270.
I'm going to give this 3.5 stars. I like the top two teams finishing there. I think there's a pretty good chance Japan, this is flipped essentially, that Japan is first and Netherlands is second. Ooh. But we're in the right ballpark, so I like the general idea here.
Mm. All right, Paul's getting ready to kill me on one of these. Group G, Belgium, Egypt, plus 140.
I kind of like Iran to finish second in this group. Egypt is a little bit better, but Iran really did have good qualifying, even if their underlying numbers were better than some of the results. So this is not terrible. I mean, these are the top two teams on paper in the group, but this is like a C type of play. So we'll say 2.5, maybe 3 stars here for this one.
All right. Remember, if Iran finishes second in Group G and we finish second, we being the USA in Group D.
Oh, baby.
round of 32, USA versus Iran.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? I can't think of anything. Group J, Argentina, Austria, 1-2, a 1-2, plus 140.
So I think I have Argentina, Algeria. I forget the price on it, but I have that as the exacta here in Group J. Okay. It's Algeria and Austria going for second place. So I don't hate this one, but I liked Algeria a little bit better. So this, again, we're talking 2.5, 3-star type of play.
Golden Boot is Mikel Oyarzabal. I think you have him as well, right? 11-1.
Love the pick. Love the pick. I was fortunate to get on it, and I think it was in March, at like 30-1. It has plummeted as people kind of realize, oh, yeah, I guess he is going to be the starter and probably take PKs for Spain. But I love the pick in general.
All right. And isn't this great?
This is like 4.5 stars, just knock off half a star because the price has dropped a lot.
Isn't this a great price on Lamine Yamal for Young Player Award plus 155?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, someone could come out of nowhere and win this one. But, I mean, he was just the La Liga player of the season. He's so chalky. So as long as he plays and does anything, I feel like he's going to get this award. So getting a little bit of plus money is good to me.
Kelly Bidlin, I bet you didn't even know there was a Young Player Award, did you?
No, I did not.
I didn't know until I saw it in a betting market.
He is hurt, though, right?
Hey, man. It's just got to
Yes, this possibly comes in a little bit late, but he's hopefully do something. Stage.
Thank you, Paul. Yep. Enjoy the games today.
Happy World Cup.
Paul Carr, everybody. Happy World Cup to all. More World Cup next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey-o.
In the house. Y'all really want your say this morning, and we give it to you. Paulie68 on Twitter. I might be Captain Obvious when I say OG is now right there for MVP, but do people realize he's shooting 50% from three in the playoffs? Oh, and averaging 20 per game versus the Raptors didn't need him. Jeez Louise. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If the Knicks...
Incredible run.
And by the way, when I say this, if the Knicks win, if they end up winning and they don't give it to OG, they give it to Brunson, they're brain dead. But as I say that, I'm like, oh, they very well could be brain dead.
Yeah,
it very well could be.
I started to see a flood of tweets this morning, man, of like the Brunson fourth quarter things are like amazing. Like he's put up some stats this finals in a pretty ridiculous fourth quarter. So could voters just look at that? Yeah, we've seen worse, man. But I hear you. It would be OG for me.
And too. NBA awards voters notoriously are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Fake follower. I cash this. Oh, this. First of all, this is amazing. I don't even know. We were talking about this off air. I don't know if this. Where does this bet exist? So he has, fake follower has a bet, the Spurs at 16-1, the bet, team to record 100-plus points in the first three quarters. Now remember, the Spurs had 76 points at halftime. He says, if they're worse scored, if they just need 24 points at halftime, I was thinking, what could possibly go wrong? They get 14. He loses the bet. Love the show. Thank you. He loses out on a 16-1. 100 points first three quarters. LFC title record saying egg on his face. He says, remember those? This was midway through the game when the Spurs were crushing him. He said, remember those people who said they'd wait until the Spurs were up by 10, then bet the Knicks? You think they're doubling down now? He's like, egg on my face. John Massey, you mean to tell me OG for MVP at 60-1 has a chance? Yeah, he's got a chance.
For sure.
Vegas regular, the biggest gag in sports history. Not the Falcons, not Greg Norman, not the Yankees. He says it's this. Which Yankees one is he referring to?
Oh, Red Sox.
Red Sox, 78, yeah. Uncle Bush, did you see Cat? Oh, I'm glad you brought this up, Uncle Bush. Did you see Cat on the final inbounds pass? Otherwise, Castle is a wide-open lay-in. Yes, I didn't mention in the recap, my bad, but they also completely downplayed it, didn't really mention it at all on the broadcast.
Yeah.
That final inbounds pass with 1.2 seconds left, Castle got behind everybody at the bucket, and Cat's right hand, his right fingertips on his right hand tipped the inbounds pass. That's why it was
Kind of figured that watching it live, but you never saw a good close-up look on the broadcast. You could see it all over social media today. But yeah, the game's over. Everybody's partying afterward. But you were like, that pass was terrible. Something had to have happened.
And last point here, last tweet here before we get to Jake. Brian Point Schaefer, do you know what the live line was when the Knicks were down 29? So I wondered about this. Most places probably didn't have up a money line. If they did, I was sort of looking up at some spots. Somebody was talking about it was, I don't know, someone on Twitter was like 130. I have no idea what, I don't know who posted it, is basically my answer to that question. When you're down 29, you'll see a lot of, hey, plus 25 and a half, plus 22 and a half, that kind of thing. But I don't know that anybody put up a money line. I could be very mistaken about that. Let's go to hockey, because it is the greatest combined NBA Finals and NHL Stanley Cup Final maybe in history through four games respectively on both. Jay Khan joins us now from north of the border, Toronto, Canada. You can follow him on Twitter at JayHan4. Once again, co-host on The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. Jake, that was something last night, wasn't it?
A tough act to follow, I'll say, for the NHL, even though the Stanley Cup Finals, guys, has been incredible through four games, as you know, lead changes. And now we're looking at the NBA, and we saw what we saw last night with that huge comeback. We've had a 4-goal lead in the NHL in the third period blown in this cup final. Now, Carolina couldn't complete that comeback. Ultimately, Vegas actually won that game in double overtime. But it's just wild. No lead is safe, apparently, in the NHL and the NBA, guys. And as a big OG Anunoby fan from his time here in Toronto, I was really happy to see him have that moment late in the game. I guess they got to start building that OG tip rebound statue outside of MSG here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, you know, give us the hockey fundamentals on Shea Theodore. Instead of sort of setting that puck around the boards in game four, game's tied up 3-3. He goes right in front of the goal. I don't know if it gets batted down, but he's still trying to get it right in front of the goal. It gets intercepted. Wes Jarvis ends up with it. He misses, but he gets the rebound. He finds Ehlers, who then finds Jordan Staal, who scores the go-ahead goal, falling down, eventually an empty netter, gives Carolina a 2-goal lead in game four. How bad of a blunder is that? And then we were sort of saying yesterday on the show, this is just anecdotal, Jake, going around our friends here who love the Vegas Golden Knights, it felt like the air came out of the balloon for a lot of our buddies here. They just feel sort of distraught. Do you have that same sense?
I don't, just because this series has been so back and forth. I get it, because you have a chance to go up 3-1 in, if you just score a goal in that third period and you're up 3-1 and you have a chance to basically have a stranglehold on this series. So I certainly understand that from a fan standpoint, but I can't predict this thing at all, guys. If I'm a Knights fan right now, obviously I'd love to be up 3-1, but I'm still thinking this team's been resilient. They could certainly go into Carolina and win a game. We saw them right in there in both games in Carolina. So home road doesn't seem to matter, guys, in the NHL or even the NBA. Now, I know the Knicks came back and won on home court last night, but it didn't look like it for most of that game. So road teams have had a lot of success in the NBA, and it doesn't seem to matter where we're playing these games in the NHL either. You play all year for home ice advantage, and then you kind of throw it out the window once we get to the biggest series of the year.
Last thing before we get your bets here, does Vegas have a decision to make in goal?
I don't think that we're going to see a change in goal for Vegas. Now, Carter Hart has not played well in this cup final. I will say that. I just don't think you're throwing in a goaltender cold at this point. Now, I know you could say Carolina did exactly that, but they had a situation where they were down 4-0 in a game that looked totally over on the weekend. So, okay, let's put Bussy out there, see what happens. They ultimately end up coming back and forcing overtime, and Bussy gets the benefit of getting to play two periods and change. So I think that really helped Rod Brindamore's decision. And speculation, maybe Frederik Andersen might even be hurt. He didn't even dress for the last
game. That's right.
We'll see what happens tonight. So I'd expect it to be Bussy again for Carolina. And no, I don't expect a change for the Vegas Golden Knights. I think they just go Carter Hart until this series is over, for better or for worse. I don't think you're putting another goaltender in now.
Yeah, Rod Brindamore's explanation as to Andersen not even suiting up was pretty interesting, where he's like, well, he just needed a full break. Right. We just needed him to, like, you know, paraphrasing, just
two days off between games wasn't enough. That was the strange part to me, Gil, where I said this was, we had the long layoff between games and he needs another day. That, and he did take a bump in the head on a goal that was called back ultimately on goaltender interference, and some speculation out there. And Frederik Andersen has a long history of injuries, guys. So everyone's going to run to that conclusion right away.
All right. So no extra day here for cross country travel. Game five tonight. Yep. At Carolina and Raleigh. Carolina's -155 favorite. Let's start with the side. How are you betting the side here?
I have to take Vegas just strictly on the odds here, guys. I've been pro Carolina all postseason long and most of this series as well. But if I see anybody hovering around +140 on the money line in this series, I got to take them, just because this series has been so close. You could argue it could be 2-2, which it is, 3-1 for either team. It could be 4-0 for one team if the coin flipped the right way in all four games. That's how tight this series has been. So I don't think anybody should be +140. I don't care where the game is being played. I got to take Vegas on the money line here. The only issue here, guys, is their starts have been really poor in this series. So there's potential that maybe Carolina does get out to a good start and you actually get a better live line on Vegas. That's my only concern, where I'm thinking, am I going to take this +140? And then I'm going to see a +250 live in the first period and say, I probably should have waited. But that's got to be something Vegas is focused on, John Tortorella and company, that they have to get out to a better start, because the first periods have not been their friend in this series.
What do you make of that, by the way, Jake? Anything to that?
There's got to be something to it. Now, it could just be Carolina being more ready to play the game, and Vegas struggling with something in that first period. But I want to point out the second period for Vegas has been even more lopsided than it has been in favor for Carolina in the first period. So something to look out for if you are watching this game tonight, whether it's maybe you want to jump in on Vegas live if they get down heading into the second period, or maybe you just want to bet a second period money line on the Vegas Golden Knights, because they have owned that period against the Carolina Hurricanes throughout the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, it's been crazy like that as well. All right, how about some prop bets tonight? What are you playing?
I'm going to go back to Jordan Staal. I have to, guys, after that last game. This has been a heroic cup final for Jordan Staal, and now he's inserted himself in the Conn Smythe conversation. I saw some people grab 175-1 tickets on Jordan Staal, if you were quick enough. Guy scored in every game so far. He has 5 goals in 4 games. The shot prop is now, you know, we're going to have to pay a little bit of juice if you want 2 shots. So I'd play it up to 3 shots for Staal. He's on that first power play right now. He's a focal point in all the offense for Carolina at the moment. Brandon Bussy over saves. This is strictly a number play, over 20.5 for Brandon Bussy. Now, Carolina suppresses shots as good as anybody in the league, but that number is just too low. And Vegas has found a way to slip through Carolina at times in this series. Obviously a huge game tonight. So 20.5, I think, is just a low number for a save prop. I'll play the over on Brandon Bussy there.
Jake, just going to ask you just for the feel. What's your instinct? Who wins this?
I got to stick with Carolina. I can't abandon them, even though I did say I like Vegas tonight. That's strictly just based on the odds and a little bit of value. I smell with that +140, but I'm going to take Carolina to find a way to get this thing done.
Yeah. Feels like a lot of people who have that instinct around here. We'll see. It's hockey. It's a best of 3. Anything can happen. Every game's its own entity. Jake, enjoy. We hope to talk to you next week.
Hopefully, maybe we're teeing up a game 7, guys, next week. Right. I can't wait.
That's right. Thank you, Jake. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Jake Hahn, everybody. Jay Hahn, HAHN4. Coming back with Zach Cohen on the NBA.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger on side. Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. We get tweet speed in the book. Bobby Geddes. Sorry if you already mentioned this one, but how is this possible? The Knicks time with the lead in regulation by game. Game one, they led for 2 minutes and 12 seconds. They won. Game two, he said 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Had to be 10 seconds at the end, wasn't it? Win. Game three, they led for 16 minutes and 25 seconds. That's the one they lost. And then game four last night, they led for 54 seconds and they won. How is that possible, he says. Bobby, I'm still trying to figure that out myself. Our buddy Keno Walker, good morning, fellas. Being bettors at heart, would either one of you have worked inside the commission during the Prohibition era? What a question.
There you go.
Wow, Rando.
Keno, my main man.
Yep. No answer, I see. Patrick Kelly. Patrick Kelly, when you buy with dollars instead of a limit, make sure you look at the average price under the to win. Jack Olick, well, we'll get back to a poly market. I want to show the World Cup here momentarily. Jack Olickwire, Gil and Crack. Lori and I took your advice and watched True Romance the other night. What a great Tarantino movie.
Cool.
With a fantastic cast. Thanks for the tip.
Great deal.
Nick G agrees with me. Scooble coming back to the rotation. Oh, he's asking, is he worth a look at 30-1 for AL Cy? Yeah, Nick, in case you missed it, it's a bet on the Tigers to get back in this. They're 8.5 back. They've played terribly, but they're playing better baseball now. But if they're still 8.5 back or more, the Tigers aren't going for it. They're going to sell, and Scooble could be gone. So you're really betting on the Tigers to get back in it so that Detroit's brass says to themselves, oh, we could actually get to the playoffs in this fakakta division. They might not use that word, but you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Greg Nersessian, I've wanted to say this for a long time. Bill Krakenberger's weekly appearance on your show is without a doubt the best radio anywhere.
Oh, that's nice.
By the way, the aura of the World Series of Poker is so immense that suckers like me don't mind paying the exorbitant rake.
I like the honesty.
He cops to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg. iHeart SEC Podcast. Thank you, Greg. That was very nice. iHeart SEC Podcast. I learned a smart strategy from the Prez on prediction markets. When you get these long odds like USA to win, you just need them to advance deep and take a good cash out. Made 500 off 100 on Knicks just getting to the finals. Yeah, a lot of people use the cash out much more liberally in the prediction markets. Tony Hernandez, Gil, I saw a VIP list on X last night after the game. Why are celebrities given better seats than some listed as Knicks alumni? You know, most of these VIPs are not fans.
I agree with him. Absolutely right.
Let me show one more. We're just talking about how NBA MVP, Finals MVP at $2 million in volume here, and then Conn Smythe had $700,000. Can I interest you to win the World Cup? How does $2 billion grab you?
$2 billion,
highlighted there by the great Danny Higgins.
So that means they have $2 billion in accounts funded to...
There is a bit of difference with math handle.
Okay.
But it is still an exorbitant amount of money.
That's unbelievable.
Spain 17%, France 16%, Portugal 12%, by the way, if you're scoring at home. That's Polymarket. By the way, you see this is in real time. You can see the bets coming in there on the left. So.
Is that graph? Is that the current bets?
Yep.
Is that what that is?
Yep. So every bet is assigned a color, and then you can see their action over time. Yeah, wow. Man.
I didn't know there was that kind of money involved.
Oh,
I know that, of course, soccer and, of course, the World Cup is giant volume.
Giant,
the biggest betting around in the world.
But like the NFL, like any game in the NFL, like especially the standalones,
yep.
It just destroys what our previous notion was of handle.
Yep.
Because a lot of these Wall Street types are trading it constantly. By the way, not sharp either in many cases.
Right, right.
But anyway, you have your story here?
I don't know if I can get it in. I'll try to.
Okay.
All right. So for months, I seen this back in April. Joey Tunes on Twitter tweeted this. I want to read this out. This has been the toughest year I've seen in 25 years, especially when it comes to getting PPH accounts. It's a mix of everything hitting at once, regulation, the rise of prediction markets, the books having way more tech to identify bots, patterns, and sharp action. It's not that they're better. It's that they're faster and more automated in how they flag you. On top of that, a lot of these books aren't honorable anymore. And that was going to be my point. There's no real accountability, so they limit, stall, or flat out don't pay, and nothing happens. Well, the offshore space has changed too. After being consolidated by places like Buckeye and Metallic, you're seeing fewer outs, fewer options, tighter and more uniform lines, what we're always taught, line shopping, finding the best number, that edge has basically disappeared. If you're betting into the legal markets and you're taking the best number they offer, you're getting thrown out. And the PPH world, that's pay per head. That's the local guys, and for people that don't know what that means. It's smaller than it's ever been, and getting accounts is harder than ever. The one bright spot is the newer books that have come up over the last few years, and you mentioned some of the books that are on the screen, Amapola, Bet War, Paradise. They actually operate like real sports books again. They take action, respect sharp play, and move their numbers instead of just shutting you down. If you don't have access to accounts there, get on the horn. Okay, I'm not here to promote any books. So that's how it used to be, though. Books would take a hit, adjust, and keep dealing. There are still a few mainstays that operate that way, but overall, it's just not the same. Looking back, you realize how good it really was. I agree with him 100%. It's so tough to be a pro gambler today. Now, first of all, this is as far as getting accounts, and when you were, you cannot be a professional. You can't call yourself a professional sports bettor just betting with the casinos, because you can't get the volume down to make a living in those smaller markets. So you need those per head accounts. And it's now, though, you have an industry that every, you know, you can go to any poker game, especially during a World Series, you're going to find a bookmaker at almost every table, or a so-called bookmaker. They think they're bookmakers. And, you know, the kids that are poker players talking about sports betting in the games, and all of a sudden, you know, someone says, wow, I could be a bookie, and I know these PPH places, and I can get in a couple accounts and give them to these guys. These guys are plugs. They're easy to beat. But, you know, the first of all, the public is allowed to go on runs. Bookmakers, automatically, bookmakers, they just think it's a cash cow. If the public wins, if you win, you could take Joe Public betting every NBA playoff game and every NHL playoff game, and they get lucky and go 8-1. And you get thrown out.
Limit.
You get limited or thrown out. This guy's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, I have had bookmakers in the past call me and say, hey, Crack, you know, I have these guys. This is from back east. This is years ago, too. And I can't tell you the amount of times I would say, they just got lucky. They laid 121. Yeah. They could have laid 116 out here. They could have laid 115. You know, they just feel that they've won so much money off people, and they don't even look at the history of the account. And guess what? Some of these books, like DraftKings, do this. They don't even look at the history and say, well, this guy loses $28,000 last year and $35,000 the year before on NFL, and he won $5,000 on the tennis. Yeah, let's get rid of him.
That's
like they don't even realize they're such short sighting. I'm not just blaming these guys that are wannabe bookmakers. I'm talking about some of the big books. And I'm not saying it always happens. And there are some great I know some guys at DraftKings that work there, fantastic traders. But there's other ones that just are insecure, and they just, you know, they're making $60,000-$70,000 a year, and they just say, hey, no one's winning on my shift.
We've talked about it before. The profiling of bettors from legalized sportsbooks versus the offshore, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You're right. First of all, they're not even curious about the nature of the bets often. They just see the bottom line. And you're right. Sometimes it's in the history that they suck, and they still don't even look at that. And they still limit, which in effect is a ban, if they limit you enough.
Right.
It's an incredible thing. The amount of money they're leaving on the table with some of those decisions is an incredible thing.
It is. And what that tweet was also saying was talking more about the local guys and the PPH accounts. It's amazing. You know, when you have someone like me, and I don't even get them anymore. I don't get them because no one pays. I don't get them. So let me be blunt. What someone like me does, you know, or something like someone like me used to do, I don't even deal with it anymore. We don't even play under our own name. So now I'll try to find a losing gambler and share their accounts with them. Now, that means either one of two. That can come in the form of getting our own account from the same bookmaker or bookie, or even sharing their same account where – just keep track of your own bets. It gets a little hard to do, though. Keep track of your own bets. It can be an accounting nightmare if someone's a degen, but it definitely makes the account last longer. They're putting in square losing bets, and I'm going to try to sneak in my NBA props, NFL props, things that I know that have a higher percentage of win volume. But the headaches you get with it, you know, you have to lay groundwork down, and almost nobody sticks to it. You have to say, hey, if you don't, I'm never going to tell you my partners didn't pay. You're never going to tell me your bookmaker didn't pay. You're staying responsible. They still don't pay. So this is the reasons why Spanky does it right. And he puts this right out there on Twitter. If you want to give him accounts, you're posting with him. You're posting your you're posting the win with him. Even though it's a credit account, you're if you want advantage plays in your account, not only do you have to guarantee it, you're paying them up front. It's very hard for people to do. But anyway, I just thought I'd talk about that and the skill set you need to be a pro gambler. And like Alan Ball will be the first one to say it. He's advantage in college basketball, but he blows it in tennis or baseball. You know, you have there's so many skill sets, drinking, drugs, gambling on things. Idle mind is a devil's playground. Okay, I've said enough.
Bill Krakenberger, beautifully done. At Bill Crackman with a K, name of the podcast is Wisecracks. We've done all we can do. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.